This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to CropMetcalf.com to join their team. If you did do that today, you'd be doing it on an Open Line Thursday. And, of course, Open Line Thursday has a sponsor.
It's Window Nation, searching for new windows and doors. Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time, installed by experts to last forever. Window Nation for your home, because that's where you live.
Here's the guest lineup for today. Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. He'll be on in just about 20 minutes at 8:20. And Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. We'll talk some PGA Championship with him coming up at 9 a.m.
Right as Tiger's teeing off, right? What time is it? It's 9 what?
9:11, I think.
9:11. So at the end of the Sands
call. 9:18, something like that.
Tiger will be teeing off with Rory and Spieth.
And you'll be watching him on your ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus.
App.
Yes. Which I guess, you know, you have to pay for. I just assume everybody has ESPN Plus, but I guess not.
I'm not sure I do, but maybe someone will hook
me.
Maybe someone will hook me with their login. I don't know. I'm just grasping.
That old bit.
Valdez give you his.
When are the first tee times? They're coming up now?
I think it's very soon.
Already out.
Yeah. John Daly, Sean McKeel, Y.E. Yang.
J.D. still got an exemption?
He's still in it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
John Daly's in it. He tees off and he just teed off.
I saw J.D. on an interview with one of those podcasts. I don't know if it was the Full Send podcast, one of those. And he said he hasn't been hungover in like 20 years.
Really?
And he says the key is, he says amateurs just, they have all kinds of different drinks, and they're mixing beers,
goodies,
and liquors,
and powder.
He says, I just drink one thing. I never mix it. I never change it. And then I just wake up in the morning and just have a little sip of it, and I just, same thing, never have a hangover.
Oh, he does the hair of the dog bit?
Basically.
Really?
He does. He just drinks one thing, whether it's Jack or if it's whatever, Bud Light, whatever it is.
Okay.
And that's just all he drinks. And so then when he wakes
so
up,
he can drink
just
20
has a little
of
sip.
Them. He'll drink 20 of them over a course
says
of
he
the
hasn't
evening.
Had a, I think he said he hadn't had a hangover in like decades.
And then if it's Bud Light, he'll just drink like half of a Bud Light
just have
when
a little,
he wakes up. He'll
a little
be good
sip
to go.
In the morning. Yeah.
Really?
Start his day off. Seems,
right,
to have
that,
seems to have it figured out.
But that wouldn't work for us. He just has a ridiculous tolerance.
Well,
if
as,
you just drank Jack and Gingers or Jack and Cokes all night,
yeah,
you're going to feel like poop the next day.
Yeah.
As they say, Eric, beer before liquor, never sicker.
Yeah, no, I know. I get it.
Liquor before beer, never fear. I don't know if
it doesn't really matter.
Certainly not scientific.
But I think his idea is also too.
Drag 17.
I think also like mixing drinks is like even like Jack and Cokes and stuff because you're just adding like sugar into it that always helps give you a headache. You know, just drink Jack straight and just when you wake up, have a little sip and you start.
No, here's what you should do. Doesn't matter what you drink, just limit it.
Yeah, just drink in moderation.
No,
right, just
wanna,
have a couple.
I want to live like JD. I want to be happy.
You want to drink like eight of them?
No, I think he's got some sort of like urinary cancer or something. He's got like something.
I mean, maybe that works for him.
Issues.
But all I know is this. If I went to Circa across the street and drank vodka tonic, like 10 vodka tonics.
You'd be at the hospital.
Full on hammered.
Yeah.
And then woke up the next day.
Just had another one.
The last thing I'm going to do is make a fresh vodka tonic at 7:30 in the morning.
Just telling you.
I'm just not doing it.
Works for JD. Now, he looks terrible.
Oh, he looks awful.
I mean, he's ginormous. and, you know, he looks like he's going
to
die.
If Cakes had 8 to 10 vodkas, he never drinks vodka.
No.
Ever. No, very, he's a beer guy. Very rarely.
If you had 8 to 10 vodkas in one night, you would be at the hospital.
I don't know about hospital, but I would be pummeled.
Be like JP when he was frozen on all fours. Remember when JP was in here on all fours chasing that money?
Yeah, because it was a $500 carrot for whoever blew the highest BAC for one of the Junk's holiday shows.
He was literally frozen. You know, like he was not worth, like he was
not, not worth $500.
Passed out, frozen on all fours.
I'll just do some extra reads. Yeah. Just give me some extra commercial reads. Yeah,
exactly.
I'll make my extra $500 that way. Don't need to punish my body like that.
I can't tell you how I don't get like that anymore. I just can't. Yeah. As I get older, I just can't do it.
It's too hard. Can't go hard anymore.
I just think about some of the worst hangovers I had, and it just ruined me for days.
Right.
Oh, you feel terrible.
Yeah, and I just never want to get
the
like that.
The drinking show wears us out.
Paul wears us out.
Well, that's why I've just cut back on that.
I hope the listeners realize what we're doing for them during the drinking
show. We're putting
show.
Our bodies on the line.
It's called entertainment. We're entertaining you by punishing ourselves is what we're doing.
Are you drinking every day? Like, how many days a week do you give yourself a little break?
Maybe not every day, but
like five days out of seven?
I at least have one with dinner or right before dinner.
Every day?
Not every day, but I don't know, 5 out of 7 days.
5 out of 7.
Yeah.
Is it a conscious?
Sundays I usually don't.
Sundays
and Mondays, I'm just not.
Is it a conscious decision to not drink? Because I have to make a conscious decision at around 6 o'clock to not go pour a drink.
Is it conscious?
I have to make a conscious decision to not do it. I have to find something to occupy myself or my lips. You know, make a different type of, I don't know.
I'm guessing you generally don't, though. You probably just pour your drink. For
about
the most
5 days out.
I mean,
seven.
I look forward to it. When I pour the drink, I'm looking forward to it.
I like the relaxing feeling.
Yes, yes. And I get a little happier, a little more carefree.
Put it this way:
one.
When I post a video of my fire, your boy has a cocktail in the other hand.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Drabby definitely doesn't have one every day. No chance.
No.
You might have one twice a week. I'm gonna guess.
No, not even
not
that.
Not even way twice high. A week?
Way no, high. He doesn't drink that much.
Honestly,
he only drinks at like Chad Duke's events or Super Bowl parties or something.
So he doesn't even think about it.
It's not in my mind at all.
Cakes is every day. Valdez, I'm not sure.
Every day. Yeah.
About
four times a week?
Yeah, about four
you
times
didn't
a week.
Did you crack one during the Odyssey Town Hall yesterday at noon?
In my office?
Yeah. No, I did not. No, that's right. You're still here. That's correct. That's true.
But, Eric, this is what I like to do when the weather's nice. Uh-huh. I like to put my a beach chair out in my front yard. I put a beach chair out there. Tommy Bahama beach chair.
Uh-huh. And just watch people.
And I make a vodka and club soda or vodka Red Bull.
Yep.
And I bring my phone out there and I bring my dog. Uh-huh. My dog sits right on the lawn next to me. And I just ponder life or I get on my phone or I talk to my neighbors.
Well, that's what I do in my backyard, but I don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, I know. I like to talk to my neighbors.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah, so select few.
But that's what I do when it's nice.
Right. So you'd be doing that all summer. Because don't belong to like a pool or anything, right? Like your kids don't go to the pool. And I mean, I know they're older now.
No, we have community pools. Yeah.
Do you have one that you belong to?
Yeah, we've got three.
Oh, you do? So if you're just living in your community.
Yeah, it's an HOA thing.
That's part of your HOA?
Yeah, there's three. But I
you
never
guys don't
go.
Like hang out there?
No. I mean, we have friends who have pools that invite us over.
Uh-huh.
That's the move. Take advantage of your friend's pool.
Correct.
So you don't have to spend $30,000 on a pool or half a mile.
30.
I don't know how much does a pool cost? How would I know?
$100 to $150, maybe $200.
$200 large?
Well, that's if you get a really foofy one.
$200 large for a pool in your backyard?
There's no chance you're getting a pool for $30,000.
I mean, I was just...
No.
Maybe
it might be...
Above ground.
It might be the size of this table.
Above ground.
It might be the size of this table.
Really?
But if you're getting just a regular standard pool, it's at least $100.
Really? I don't even know.
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It could be. I mean, my deck in my patio was a show.
Much more likely to just tear up my patio and put down a pickleball court in my backyard. That would be silly.
Will you do that?
Do it.
That
Bick
would be
will be
the
over there every day.
I've been thinking about doing that in my crib.
That would be
just enough room.
That
I think.
Would be bazilli.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Lit whole thing. Oh, it'd be money.
Oh, you put lights?
Sure, play at night. Why not? Why would you not? Why would you not annoy your neighbors at night with your lit pickleball court?
Right.
I think it'd be a brilliant idea. But that's probably 50 grand too. You know what?
Be a lot.
Keeping the powder dry. No big capital expenditures.
Especially in this market. Yeah.
Keep that powder dry as much as possible. Now, somebody who did not keep the powder dry yesterday was the Philadelphia Eagles, because they spent $10 million on James Bradbury to upgrade their cornerback core. And a lot of people are buzzing. A lot of people are saying the Eagles are now becoming the favorite in the NFC East over the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not sure if I'm quite buying that.
I would still put Dallas ahead just because of the quarterback, but who knows? I mean, Dallas won 12 games last year. What did Philly win, 9 or 10?
I don't know.
Can you check that for me? I mean, they were a wild card, so they were in the playoffs. They've got some talent. Went out and got A.J. Brown. They got Devontae Smith. They've got, obviously, a running core, dual threat quarterback. Got a good tight end.
They've got decent depth in their running back room. Miles Sanders.
If Sanders can stay healthy,
that's been a problem for him. Is staying
last couple of years.
9-8.
Nine wins. Are they better than 9 wins this year?
Drafted Jordan Davis.
They got Jordan Davis from Georgia.
And Dean.
I think they're building a pretty complete roster.
It looks like it, yeah. But again, it all hinges on what?
I think they end up.
I don't know if it all hinges on the quarterback.
It's a big part.
I think it's a big part.
It's a big part. If he gets better, then I'd say.
If he turns out to be a world beater, then they'll be set.
Well, they got two great cornerbacks now. Are really good cornerbacks.
And they
Slay and Bradbury.
Is it Avante Maddox? Now they move him into the slot. He's a pretty good corner. He's pretty solid. They've got three pretty good corners there.
Yeah. Look, I can see why Eagles fans are excited. Definitely. Because of everything they've added.
Yeah.
But can Hurts take that next step?
Mm-hmm. And Dallas, I think, might take a little bit of a step back on offense. Amari Cooper leaves. Michael Gallup's recovering from an ACL tear. Cedric Wilson, I believe, signed with the Dolphins in the offseason.
Yep.
They've had a lot of losses personnel-wise on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of it's going to fall on CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz at tight end. Tony Pollard, I think, has a bigger role in that offense going forward.
If he's injury-free, he's going to have a big year.
He should.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of vacated targets there for CeeDee Lamb.
Because no Amari. Amari's gone.
Yep.
I just think it's crazy.
Do you feel like Philly's the favorite right now in the NFC East based on what they've added?
I think they're neck and neck with Dallas. I think it's pretty close.
I think we're all the same.
Why is that?
Except for the Giants. I think we're all the same. I think we made.
So you think
upgrade.
You have as good a shot to win the division as Dallas and Philly?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think any of them are dominant.
I know who doesn't think that. Vegas.
No, I don't think they're dominant.
Yeah, what is it? Because Vegas has us at 7.5, right? What do they have, Philly, and what do they have, Dallas?
I'd have to look up the latest.
Would love to know.
I thought Dallas was plus 110, and I thought Eagles were like plus 200 or just above that.
And then what's Washington?
Yeah, but
plus
350? I would just love to know what they have for over-under on games. One. They have us at 7.5.
Let's go.
So what do they have?
Let's look at
it. They have Dallas at what, 10?
Yeah, probably maybe 10.5.
All right.
The Commanders are plus 450 to win the NFC East.
Wow. That doesn't sound like they're all the same.
Well, that doesn't mean they know. To me, they're all equal. Except for I feel like the Giants are notably behind. I'm not that big a fan of Hurts just because he runs. Cakes loves him because he runs and gives him 800 yards of rushing and 7 touchdowns.
I mean, I just think that if he improves somewhat in the passing game, he's gonna help lift that offense. And I think by adding A.J. Brown... You had a substantial weapon. If he can stay upright and stay healthy, helps
Eric,
add to that passing.
You could understand how Eagle fans are looking at it, just the same way you look at it with Wentz. You're like, well, we won this amount of games with Poopy Heineke, and we got Wentz. Well, they're saying we won 9 games, and we got A.J. Brown and Bradbury.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, okay. And Jordan, of course we're going to be better.
I just don't believe in their quarterback. As much
All right,
as
your
other
current
players.
Numbers. Dallas is, the win total is 10.5.
Wow.
Washington is...
I think I would...
Washington is 8.
Oh, Washington's up to 8
now? Been bumped up.
That's what I see. I see 8 here. And then Philadelphia is 9.5, and the Giants, I believe, are 6.5.
Right.
If you felt comfortable at 8 wins, you should put a lot of money on that.
I should have put money on over the 8. I should have done it at 7.5. I got to shop for 7.5.
Yeah, you got to shop around.
I got to shop for 7.5.
Okay. Well, you probably could do that.
Somebody tells me that shop may be sold out of 7.5.
But if you like this team that much, and you've said it a billion times, you think Carson Wentz is going to work out?
Yep.
You think this team is going to surprise people?
Higher on
you think
my
the
workout.
Schedule sucks? You think the schedule's the worst in the country?
I mean,
well, then you should put your money where your mouth is and put a lot of money on Washington over 7.5 or 8.
He's making a good point.
I should. You're right.
But will you?
I'm not going to put a huge amount, but I think I will. If I got to shop and find 7.5.
Yeah, you can find 7.5.
I mean, I should still put 8 too, but that just gets me to 9. You know, it just gets a little tighter.
Go shop at Marshall's, see if you find that 7.5. That discounted win
I just know
total.
That Carson had a higher completion percentage, threw for more yards, threw for more touchdowns, threw for fewer interceptions, had a higher quarterback rating, and everybody tells me, significantly higher, and everybody tells me how bad he sucks and how great Hurts is. And he trusts him in every category except for rushing.
Well, rushing's pretty big.
Okay.
When you score like 8 or 10
touchdowns. How many rushing touchdowns does Hurts have? I mean, he's another weapon.
He had 7.
All right, it's another running back.
All right.
I think that's a pretty good year.
Okay. My guy still beat him in total touchdowns.
Okay, but that was a second-year quarterback. And
this was supposedly a year that was so bad they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Well, all I know is one of them went to the playoffs and the other one was going home.
Okay.
And packing up his house to go to another city.
Let's see what happens this year.
All right,
when we come back, we'll be joined by Washington Post columnist Barry Svrluga next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We head now to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We're joined by Barry Svrluga, Washington Post columnist. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Barry, where are you this weekend? Well. You doing something this weekend, covering something?
What am I? No, I'm not doing anything this weekend. I'm watching the PGA from my couch watching the Nats from my couch and go out there next week for the Dodgers series.
Do you get into golf pools by any chance?
You know, I'm such a loser about that. Every time on like Thursday morning, I'm like, why didn't I get in on a pool? Like so much fun. I have so many friends who do them. And that's a great reminder, Jason. I'll probably try to hunt one down this afternoon because golf gambling is super fun.
Oh, I love it. I live for it. Are there certain, I know you're a journalist, but are there certain guys you're kind of pulling for this week? Tiger or anybody else?
So I'm a little bit of a Rory geek. Part of it is I was the golf writer when he won his first major at Congressional in 2011. And it was after his big Masters collapse. And you just felt like you were watching kind of a birth of a really important and legendary career. And then I covered like a British Open he won. And I just like he is developed into kind of the conscience of the sport. He's such a smart and thoughtful quote on almost any issue. And that includes on Phil's absence this week. And I just am like staggered that he has 4 majors, but none of them have been since 2014. He's too good and has played too well over the course of that almost decade to not win another one soon. So I keep thinking like this next one is going to be the one he finally brings it home. He's coming off that final round 64 at the Masters and finished fifth here at TPC Potomac. So I don't know. I'm a little bit of a fanboy for him, but that would be my pick.
Not that you would care about this, but one of the pools I'm in, I'm just looking at all the picks that just came in, and there's a bunch of Jordan Spieth, boy. Now, Spieth is obviously pretty hot. He won in Hilton Head. He finished second last week. Mm-hmm. Now, he missed the cut at the Masters, but this would be the career Grand Slam. And a lot of people like Spieth. He's driving the ball well. Yeah, his putting is always, kind of hot and cold, but he's been pretty consistent lately. So he might have a shot.
I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, I think it's almost better that he finished second rather than winning last week in Texas. He has, I think, as a golfer at the University of Texas, and this is true of Scottie Scheffler as well, like they end up at Southern Hills some, so I'm almost positive he has experience there, even if it goes back a ways. Mm-hmm. The guy that I was looking at odds yesterday for some reason, and the guy who's down the board a little bit that I don't understand is why he's down the board is Cam Smith. It feels like he is someone who's on the brink of winning a major, and I think he was like plus 6,500 or something like that. I can't remember. He was 20th in the list of favorites, and when I would have thought he would have been around 10th or 12th. So there's another name I'll throw out for you.
Gotcha.
Hey, Barry, let's jump into the Washington Capitals. We've had a few days now to process another disappointing first-round exit by the Caps, and this is a franchise with a lot of question marks heading into the offseason. You got Laviolette heading into the last year of a three-year deal, and he's been bounced out of the playoffs each of the first two seasons. You got major questions at the goalie spot, and the health of some of your superstars is, I think, a big question mark, especially Nick Backstrom and his hip that just... I mean, he said it's never going to be at 100%. So this is a team that's going to be, searching for some answers during this offseason.
1,000%. And I think the problem with the idea that you make Ovechkin a Capital for life, you make Nick a Capital for life, you sign Oshie basically probably to the end of his career. Each of those decisions, it feels good at the time. No one wants to see Alex Ovechkin or Nick Backstrom in some other sort of sweater to, Willie Mays with the Mets type of situation. Like that would serve no one. But, the Caps have kind of hung their hat on is over the past couple of years is when we're healthy, we're really pretty good. We can compete with anybody. But when you're building a core that is kind of old across the board, other than Tom Wilson and I mean, Kuzi just turned 30 even. Like, almost everybody is on the wrong side of 30. Carlson, Oshie, Backstrom, Ovechkin, even Orlov is 30 now. So it's harder to get that core to be healthy all at the same time. And I agree that, to me, Backstrom is the most concerning because – Ovi's coming off another 50-goal season. I'm not saying he's going to have, score 50 next year, but he's productive. He's still productive, which is staggering. He's going to be 37 in September. Oshie, who I think played only 44 games during the regular season, had maybe the best playoff series of any Capital. He scored 6 goals in 6 games and looked like, when the bell rings, I can do it. Wilson, who missed the series, is obviously a force, and that's a huge factor that he missed all but 91 seconds there. But Nick is the one who, if he's not some version of his best self, and if he can never be a version of his best self, that slows the whole operation down. I mean, he has to be a first or second line center for them to be the best versions of themselves. And that's, to me, goalie's a question, and it's pretty clear to me they're not going to bring both these guys back, and they're going to try to sign a veteran. But I think the Backstrom health and whether he has surgery and how much of next season he misses, that's the biggest question to me.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the week and what kind of decisions they're going to have to make and whether or not they're going to pull off a blockbuster. I think maybe it was Tariq El-Bashir.
Yeah, it was Tariq.
We had him on the show, and he kind of predicted that one of those big names would be not Ovi, obviously, but someone big will go. And Cakes will disagree with this, but, 5 seasons ago they win the cup, and that was unbelievable. But it's been for me, and I'm not a huge hockey fan, all right? I'm just a Caps fan. It's been a huge disappointment to be bounced every single year since then in the first round. And when you win that cup, you're kind of thinking, all right, let's build something. That's not necessarily win another cup. You want to, but let's build something here where they can go deep in the playoffs now that they're considered the best team. And it's been a huge disappointment. I'll throw out the COVID year, Barry, because that was a joke. But those other three seasons, and two of those seasons, they won their division. Huge disappointment.
That's what happens when you have a veteran team, and that's what it was.
Right, and that's why Tarik is predicting that one of those big names, the older guys, could go.
Well, and I think Tarik is on. I mean, Tarik and I both stood there and listened to Brian McClellan on Breakdown Day on Sunday say, you know, if you've lost four straight years in the first round, like, something's not working.
Right.
So I don't think it's off the table. When McClellan became GM after George McPhee's long, you know, 15-year tenure or whatever it was, I mean, he shook things up right away. He made the trade for Oshie. There were, you know, big moves that he thought were necessary. And then, you know, the year before they won the cup, everybody thought that that was their window. But they let Justin Williams go. So he's, I don't think he's afraid to make changes. I'm probably like you, Jason, I don't have the lay of the land hockey-wide over the whole NHL to say, like, oh, this is a contract. You know, John Carlson's contract is one that could be moved and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think it's crazy to think that they do something drastic. They need to get younger. I mean, they've acknowledged that. They have some parts in the minors that, you know, are 20, 21, 22 years old that would help them get a little younger and faster. But those pieces need to arrive and contribute quickly. They can't just, you know, fill a space in the lineup. They have to share production and minutes if they're going to change the results here. So, I mean, and I would also add that the cup run was great, but I agree with you guys that, like, spring feels short around here the last 4 years. It's like it's May, 19th or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it would just be awesome to have 2 weeks of hockey talk to, you know, another 6 or 7 game series to, like, watch at night and talk about during the day and think right. about, oh, if they get, you know, it's just, now you have to flip on the Nats. And at the moment, like, that's no fun either.
No one wants to watch them. Yep.
Barry, we're going to have Buster Olney on the show tomorrow at 7:20. And his article on ESPN had some people up in arms about Juan Soto potentially being traded. What is your viewpoint right now on the status of Juan Soto with the Nationals? Well, I mean, it's a weird spot because of the rumors of the potential sale of the franchise. Mike Rizzo's going to the last year of his contract. The team's not performing very well on the field. There's a lot going on with the Soto news that's lingering over the franchise.
So I would say that, you know, obviously Buster's, legitimate source, and he has legitimate sources, and he's been doing this a long time. I also would say that, you know, you can get, as he quoted, you know, rival executives to say almost anything. Like, they it's easy for them to say, oh, if I were in that chair, I would consider trading Soto because you're nowhere close to winning and you don't know if you're going to be able to extend him. And you would be able to, there's no greater commodity in the game that could bring more to your farm system than this guy. I have not done reporting on this, but I will say this, that trading Juan Soto in the midst of a potential ownership change, that would be a big, big, big about face for the Nationals. Their energy has been toward trying to get a deal done with him. That's not going to be easy. He knows his value, and Scott Boras knows his value. But the more I talk to people, one of the questions that we may have talked about this before, when the Lerner news broke about, you know, we're probably going to sell the team. My question was, okay, to a potential new owner, is this a better asset if you have Juan Soto on the books for $450 million or $500 million over the next 10 or 12 years, whatever it is?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or is it better to have the books clean and just start fresh? And most of the people in baseball that I talk to believe that you're better off with one of the top three players in the game or top three hitters in the game
on your team
on your team. Like, that, it's a more attractive outfit and more attractive asset if you have him locked up. So I'm not at all discounting Buster's reporting. I'm just saying that I don't expect that they would pursue a trade. I also, people I've talked to have said, I don't think they could max out their return at this time because they're kind of in a compromised position. Maybe something happens. I think that's going to be a story that kind of blows over.
But do you, so how do you think it will ultimately play out? Is it going to be one of those deals where, you know, they just take him to free agency and then, you know, Boris will get him huge offers and then the Nats just have to step up and match? Is that how you see it playing out?
So I think Eric, it matters like who's the new owner. Like if it's a Steve Cohen type who comes in and says like, I'm here to compete. I make my money elsewhere. I don't need to make my, I'm not here to lose money on the Nationals, but I don't need to make money on them. And I want to be competitive for a championship. Like the Learners won their championship. I'm not convinced that they would be selling if they hadn't won.
Mm-hmm.
So I think any prediction about that is we're missing the biggest part of the puzzle. And that's like, who's going to be writing that check and who's going to be making that offer.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good point. Well, like it kind of depends on who it is, right, Eric?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a Bezos kind of guy? Like who the hell?
Well, we have no idea. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I would also say this. Like, okay, I mean, the one, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to trying to uncover who the groups are because mm-hmm. they don't. There hasn't been officially the packet of information about that the Nationals have assembled. Saying this is what we have to sell with all their financials, that hasn't gone out to prospective buyers yet. And I think when that happens, we'll get an idea of who the specific people are. But because it's logical, let's talk about Ted Leonsis and David Rubenstein, like that you're very, very a sports owner in town and an extremely wealthy businessman and philanthropist in town. Ted has a history and it's worked out well, and it's worked out poorly of keeping his generational guys locked up and on both sides of the ledger, on both basketball and hockey. I mean, Ovechkin and Backstrom are the examples in hockey, but it also includes Wilson and Carlson that were signed mm-hmm. long deals. And then it did eventually John Wall got traded and was hurt, but I mean, they did everything to keep him a wizard. And obviously Brad Beal is probably, going to take that next step with the next mega contract. So he's been here forever. Does that mean that he would be able to go to the other side and a baseball sign and deal with Scott Boris and lock him up long term? Doesn't automatically mean that, but I think if you apply the same thinking, like I would like to keep my homegrown people, maybe that would have an impact on it.
Yeah.
Barry, thanks as always for the time. Enjoy watching the PGA on your couch today. Get some R&R. We'll talk to you again soon.
Throw some cash around, Barry. Come on, throw some cash.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
It's Barry Svrluga, Washington Post columnist. When we come back, we'll tell you what a man in Milwaukee has eaten nearly every day for the last 50 years. We'll get into that next on The Fan. I almost didn't believe the story when I saw it, because I saw it yesterday or earlier this morning, and Drab put it on the outline, that there's a dude in Milwaukee who's 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 50 years, nearly every day of those last 50 years, he has eaten the same food product.
All right.
Same food item.
Is it a breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
It's something you would generally eat for lunch or dinner, if you want to try to deduce what it is.
Lunch or dinner.
Yeah, it's a lunch or dinner item.
Is it something I would like?
I think you probably would like it, but you are probably not going to eat it every single day for 50 years.
All right.
Pizza.
I probably would
not
like
pizza.
It.
Pizza's not the guess.
Hold on. I definitely would like it. Have I ever talked about eating this before?
I think you have, but I can't really pinpoint it. I'll put it this way. I don't think you've had one of these in a long time. But I think you've had it before. I think you've had the item.
All right. Would you like it?
If you took one specific
thing off of
part
it?
Off of it, I would like it.
All right,
it,
so
yes.
It's something with cheese on it.
All right. You're correct.
But it's not pizza, so it's not melted pizza. Cheese.
BLT.
It's not BLT.
No,
BLT
so it's gotta have
not a
cold
cheese.
He doesn't
wait
like,
a minute, bacon, lettuce,
yeah,
no BLT
cheese.
Doesn't have
yeah,
cheese.
Zero cheese.
Well, why would I throw that out?
He doesn't like cold cheese, right? He doesn't mind melted cheese like nachos.
A tuna melt.
Correct. No, but you're getting closer.
A ham and cheese sandwich.
No.
A grilled turkey and cheese.
No, you guys are close, but you're kind of missing it.
Come on.
Well, chili and cheese.
Yeah. Can I give you a hint? It's a fast food item.
Double cheeseburger.
You're really close now.
Right, A Big Mac.
This guy's eaten like, I think it's 23,000 plus.
How is he not
Big
dead?
Macs in his life.
How does he look?
He said, a lot of people said, you're not going to make it to your 50-year goal of eating nothing but Big Macs. He's 68.
Does he look pretty good?
I mean, he looked his haircut. Could you his haircut could use
no, but
a little
how's
bit
his
of work.
Body look?
He looks fine. He looks pretty good for a guy who's almost 70, who's downing Big Macs on the regular. And I found this a little bit stunning.
Donald Gorski.
Gorski. Mm. He claims that on some days he'll eat two Big Macs.
He's a weirdo. He's got a bowl cut and like
like his look is weird.
He's got those chops.
He's got lamb chop.
Yeah. But you are right. I have not had one of those in a long time.
So he just loves Big Macs?
I believe he was profiled in Super Size Me. I remember this guy from like 20 years ago when they're making a big deal about him hitting 30 years of Big Macs.
Right.
Uh-huh. He's continued to be.
He just every day.
Well, it just spotlights that. Genetics is way more important as far as like what you eat and how it's going to affect your body, how it affects your.
But does he
well,
say,
I mean, if he's eating a Big Mac for dinner and he's not, you know, eating a ton of stuff for lunch or bad stuff for breakfast,
right.
If he's limiting his total calories and it's basically all the Big Mac, then that probably explains it.
Yeah, but he said some days he does two Big Macs.
Yeah, that's a lot.
but
still, you can eat 2,000, 3,000 calories a day, whatever it is, right? How much is a Big Mac?
Got to be 1,000.
That's
all right.
Well,
that's all he eats.
I'm gonna guess
all he eats every
day. Big Mac is like probably not 1,000, is it? But it does have two beef patties.
Dude, it's got
special
be
sauce.
It's got to be 1,000.
I'm gonna say minimum 800 calories.
Yeah, I'm gonna say between 800 and 1,000.
I'll tell you right now.
It's good. I like a Big Mac.
563 calories.
Oh, that's less than I would have thought. Yeah, so you can get two less. Big Macs for under 1,100 calories.
Yep. You're right there.
All right.
What would cakes?
I might have one today.
What would cakes eat? For 50 years straight every day.
Ooh, every day. I mean, I don't like to eat the same thing all the time.
Well,
who
does? I'm just saying.
If
you had to be this guy and eat that one thing every single day.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Are we sticking with fast food or just anything?
Anything in general. Your one meal a day like this guy.
Pizza.
I know what mine is.
Or could it be a snack?
Anything.
Because if it were a snack, it would be gummy bears. I would eat gummy bears every single day. Meal, it would probably be sushi.
Yeah, I would get tired of sushi every day.
I get tired of that.
I could eat a slice of pepperoni pizza every single day.
That's a good
100%.
One, too.
100%.
You could?
Yeah.
Pepperoni pizza is delicious.
I know
I really like kava, and I'm not disparaging it, but I can go in ruts where I go like 2 or 3 times a week, and then after like 6 weeks, I'm like, I need a break.
Yeah,
sure.
You know what I mean?
And
I can't imagine going every day the same item.
Right.
I can't.
And look, I say that now that I could eat a slice of pepperoni, but after 2 months and I'm still eating a slice of pepperoni every single day, I might just be like,
now
I'm out.
On the McDonald's in the McDonald's
need
realm.
A break.
If I had to do just a McDonald's meal every day, it would be the meal that I eat basically every time I go to MGM National Harbor.
Happy meal.
I go through the drive-thru. And I order a Happy Meal with fries, and sometimes I'll get extra double fries, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll take apple slices so I don't have double fries.
Yeah.
And then I upgrade to a redneck guzzler, of course, because the soda they give you for a Happy Meal is too small. Now, imagine my horror. I think this is about a month ago where I ordered said meal, and I didn't check it before I got to the Noir parking at MGM National Harbor because I'm a big silly.
VIP, yep.
VIP. I open the Happy Meal box. There are the fries. There are the apple slices. There is the toy. No hamburger, Valdez. They left out the main component of the Happy Meal. The cornerstone of the Happy Meal was left out. And I was a little bit distraught.
If you ate a Big Mac and a large fry from McDonald's every single day, you're basically at 1,000 calories. Maybe a little bit more.
You can't eat that many fries. It would just kill you, I think.
I know. I'm just talking about the calorie intake.
They say this dude, Gorski, whatever his name is. He realized he was spending so much on gas,
right,
going to McDonald's every day. Did you read this in the article?
I did not.
That now he just goes twice a week, and he'll pick up 6 to 8 of them. So it's even worse.
Just put them in the fridge?
And then he reheats them at home.
Yeah, that wouldn't taste good.
It's kind of weird. That guy has a Money Park named after him in Russia.
Gorski Park.
I hope he has a silly, like, maybe one of those convection ovens or something.
Here's what he should be doing. He should eat a few less Big Macs and go to a stylist. His hairdo stinks on ice. It's a little bit of an upgrade there.
Can you imagine that guy's grumpies? Just from Big Macs only.
Grumpies will always make me laugh. It's always just a funny thing. All right, let's go to the phones. It is an open line Thursday if you'd like to weigh in on the guy who's eaten like 24,000 Big Macs in his life. Let's go to Dave on line 4.
Dave, what's up?
Hey guys. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm retiring. I'm retired. I'm finally getting my wife to watch the show, but Edie is just grossing us out with his eating and picking his nose. You gotta stop.
My mother said I picked my nose. I don't know that I did.
People calling all segments saying stop picking your nose.
What am I doing? How am I doing it?
I don't know.
Probably
got a finger jammed up there.
You pull at the edges.
Who knew Eric eats boogers every day?
No, I definitely do it.
No, you know what I do? Maybe that's what I do.
He's going to eat boogers for the rest of his life.
Hey, Dave, has your wife ever said I've done it? Because I think I do it, too.
No, he's the only one. He's the only one that's consistent.
What am I? When I do it, catch me. Because I know what I do when I'm at Bobby. I pull my hairs out. I pull my nose hairs out.
That's what you're doing.
Huh?
That's what I see you doing.
I pull my nose hairs out all the time. They annoy me like you can't believe.
Sure. You can't do it in the bathroom?
Yeah.
It's probably just a habit. I don't even realize it. I have no idea, no recollection of doing it. But my mother texted me yesterday. Mm. Now the eating, I'm sorry. It's a 4-hour show and I'm starving and I'm hungry. I don't know what to tell you.
You can't eat during the break?
No.
No, because he goes to the break room.
That's when I go potty.
He goes to the break room during the break and he gets it and he brings it back.
He disappears for about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll gain a fan. You'll probably gain many fans.
I think the fair one is picking your nose. That's just gross.
It's gross. Yeah.
So I'm embarrassed if I'm picking my nose on the air.
Now, I know I'm guilty of rubbing my eyeballs because
all right, take care.
They're always watering like during spring and summer. But I try not to pick my nose on camera if I can help it.
Yeah. I usually do my nose picking in the morning.
That's when you reserve.
I wake up from sleep and I have some hardened mucus.
Yes, yes.
I stick my finger in there and I try to bring out a big cornflake.
I thought I was hungry until I heard that last line. I'm no longer hungry.
I do the same thing.
The way it works.
Yeah, that's the way I can breathe for the day.
I pick my nose in my car every single day on the way in. Every single day.
What do you do with your boogies?
Throw them out the window.
Throw out the window, flick them. Yeah. And I always have tissue.
But that stuff, you don't understand, that stuff just builds and builds and builds for six, seven hours. And it hardens up. It's got to come out.
It's gross.
Bickle's got to come out.
All right, we come back. We're going to pivot away from booger talk, and we're going to talk to Steve Sands and focus on the PGA Championship next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum
of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.